So, Dave, what do you want to talk about?
Why don't we just give people kind of a sneak preview of what kind of shit we'll be doing here.
All right, cool. But I didn't come prepared at all in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So we got to have
neither
that.
Neither did I.
Yeah, all right, cool. All right,
maybe we won't be prepared on the show either.
Yeah, maybe not. So I guess what's the most interesting thing you've seen since Monday, which was yesterday?
Oh, geez, put me on the spot here.
What's piqued your curiosity?
I don't know.
The most?
I mean, well, so today the Supreme Court. This is an American thing, so you probably don't give a shit. But the Supreme Court shot him down on his birthright citizenship thing. So, you know, your dog's mad. He doesn't like it.
It's not my dog. It's the neighbor's dog.
It's your dog's MAGA.
No, it's my neighbor's dog. It's a pit bull. It's kind of rambunctious.
But yeah, so Trump, you know, there's this whole anti-immigrant thing, and the 14th Amendment tries to specify who is born a citizen and who's not, but it has a lot of ambiguous language in there. So, like, the Trump team was arguing that the language should be interpreted one way, and then the other side was saying, no, it should be interpreted the other way, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of not Trump.
Okay, so is that in favor of anchor babies then?
Yes. So if you sneak in, have a baby, that baby's a citizen. And
okay.
That's how it's been for like 100 years. So like they're keeping the current status quo, essentially.
Okay, is that unique to the U.S.? I was born in Colombia. I was not born. So is that unique to the U.S. where if you're born there, you're automatically a citizen? Or is that like just kind of par for the course?
I don't know if it's unique, but we are. It's not common. Like most places don't really do it that way. Like you have to have your parents have to be legal citizens as well.
Okay.
And in some countries, like so, for example, Ireland, like you can go to the Irish government and say, "My ancestors moved to America in 1850. Can I please have Irish citizenship?" And it's not automatic, but they might give it to you.
So yeah, I think Italy and like certain other like European countries are like that. Like maybe Spain, like a lot of countries that had a huge amount of like immigration to the New World, like in the 1800s, they have like retroactive citizenship if you can prove it with birth certificates and stuff like that. So, all right, okay. So, are you for the ruling or are you against the ruling? Like, what's your personal opinion?
Well, first of all, I don't believe in this concept of citizenship in the first place. So if you're asking my personal opinion, it's all just retarded bullshit. But if you're saying, you know, what should they rule based on what the Constitution says? So what it says is if you're born here and you are subject to the jurisdiction thereof, that's the phrase that everybody's arguing about. And to me, that has to mean something. Otherwise, you know, why is it there, right? So my personal opinion would mean that if you are deliberately coming here to make a life here, you are subjecting yourself to the jurisdiction. So whether you cross legally or not, or whether you overstayed a visa or not, you are subjecting yourself to your jurisdiction, and your kids should be babies. But there are cases where I think you should not be citizens. So, for example, and I brought this up, and people are like, oh, I don't care. But think about it. So let's say you're a woman from Japan, and you're 6 months pregnant, right? And you're on vacation in America, and you go into labor early, and you know, you have your baby in America. Now, America is going to say that baby is a citizen with this ruling. And, you know, as far as you're concerned, you're a Japanese person. You live in Japan. You're going home to Japan with your newborn baby. And when that baby turns 18, the IRS is going to come knocking and say, give us taxes. No, that's retarded, right? Like, why should that baby be an American citizen that has to pay American taxes when the only time they were in America was when they were an infant? It should be a consensual thing, right? You either want to be a citizen or you want your child to be a citizen or you don't.
Okay, I have so many questions. Like, first of all, like, I agree it should be consensual, but I don't believe the so-called social contract works like that. Like, you're born into a slave, like, jurisdiction, and you have to abide by the laws. It's against your will. Like, for instance, you mentioned the Constitution. Like, do you think the Constitution is even a legally binding thing? Like, how am I contractually obligated to a piece of paper that, like, people signed 200 years before my birth? You know, like, well, it has nothing to do with, like, me. So, like, why am I a party to that agreement, first of all? Like, I'm not consenting to that.
That's why I said there's my opinion, and then there's what I think the Constitution means. Because it's two different things.
Okay, fair enough. And
like,
then,
my opinion is, like, this is all bullshit, right? Like,
yeah, I would agree with
like,
you.
But, like, if you're a Japanese citizen and you believe in all that bullshit, then you should be able to say, no, my baby's Japanese, not American.
Okay, that's interesting. And then first of all, I want to say my cousin was in the Marines, and he was stationed in Okinawa, and his baby was born there and has Japanese citizenship just because they were born there. That's and it's kind of the reverse situation because they moved back to California like after his four years there.
Well, usually, if you're another weird thing, if you're born on a military base, they count that as America.
Yeah. We're like, so he has dual citizenship.
Like, what's his name? John McCain, who ran for president, he was born in Panama, but he was born on a U.S. military base, so they say, oh, that counts. Like, well, what the fuck? Why does that count? They're just making shit up at this point.
I guess it's like an embassy where it's like a sovereign thing within.
Says who? I mean, like, what, does Panama say that that's U.S. territory? I don't think so. Like,
no, but I think militarism, like U.S. militarism says, look, bitch, you're going to treat it like a sovereign thing or we're going to bomb you.
Then why the fuck isn't everyone a citizen? Like, we own the whole planet, don't we? Like, what if you're born on the fucking moon or on the space station? Are you a U.S. citizen then? Like, what the fuck is this?
I mean, like, if you were born to a U.S. astronaut on the fucking space station, like, would you not be a U.S. citizen or would you be an alien?
I don't fucking know. No one, they'd have to take it to court, I guess.
All right. Fair enough.
But it's all about, like, this. On the one hand, they want to tax you, right? So they want as many citizens as they can get, because then they can say you owe us taxes.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's this rabid base of MAGA who, like, are rationally afraid of people moving here and taking jobs and all this like, you know, the same bullshit we've been talking about for 2,000 years. And they're just retarded. So you have to appease those people, whether or not you think your court case is valid.
Yeah, I agree that there's that contingent of people, but at the same time, like, because me and you are both kind of like anarchists, I don't even believe that borders are like a real thing. Like, you know, like, just because somebody says, like, oh, here's a line, oh, this mafia controls, like, this place. Like, now you have to, like, cut to these people.
The only borders are, like, physical things that you build, like a fence. Yeah, like, a fence is a valid border because I built it. But, like, just drawing a line on a map, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and then, like, if you study, like, the whole history of, like, passports, like, we've only had passports for, I don't even know, like, a couple hundred years, basically. And, like, before that, you could just hop in a boat and, like, travel somewhere and, like, go somewhere. And nobody cared.
It was a World War One thing. It was World War One that started all that shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, basically, there's that going on where it's like now you need permission to travel. And for, like, I don't know, like, thousands of human years of history, you were able to just go somewhere. And as long as you didn't piss off the locals to the point where they wanted to kill you, you were, like, chill to be there. You know, and, like, I feel like a free society, that's how it would be still. Like, why are there these governments saying, like, you're illegal?
People just take for granted. Like, they just assume that the way it is now is the way it always was.
Yeah, okay. So, like, as far as anchor babies go, like, how do you feel about the anchor baby industry? Because there's, like, a whole fucking industry around this where, if you're a rich fucking elite from, like, another country, you're pregnant, you can just go fly to the U.S., have your baby in the U.S., get grandfathered in with this anchor baby thing, and then, you know, have ties to the U.S. when normally not be able to pass, like, the legal framework.
The way I look at shit like that is, like, if you make a bunch of stupid-ass rules, and then people take advantage of those rules, well, too fucking bad, right? How about we don't have this retarded structure in the first place that like penalizes immigration, or, you know, like if we didn't have that, then we wouldn't have all these people trying to cheat.
Yeah. And I mean, guess like, that goes back to the World War I passport thing, like, right? Like people controlling, yeah, like right, the migration of free individuals.
Yeah. Like my family, most of my family is Italian, the ones that talk to each other, right? And okay, they came here in like 1900-ish or 1890s, something like that. And the funny thing is, like, a lot of them are conservative, right? So like they're on board with all this immigration stuff. And they say, my ancestors came here illegally. Why can't yours? And it's like, dude, our family just showed the fuck up on a boat and said, okay, I'm here now, right? Like, they didn't have to do anything. And if you look at what you have to do now, it's fucking ridiculous.
I think it's especially ironic that they're Italians, because, like, Italians and Irish used to be, like, considered not white enough. Right. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
So they're like, fuck these immigrants. Pull the ladder up.
That's how it works. But yeah, like, what was I going to say? Fuck,
you were talking about your family coming in the 1890s. Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, I know that part, but I'm trying to. I had like a mini point.
Because they were like getting mad that they're conservative and getting mad that the immigration was happening.
No, but I'm saying like I know that, but I had something I was going towards.
God damn it, David. Are you Dave or David?
Dave. Well, I mean, depends on what, like, do you care what my birth certificate says, or?
No, I was just asking. It's like, I'm Ricardo, but, like, people in the U.S. called me Rick when I lived there.
Well, so when I was in college, more people knew me by the name Snacks than by Dave.
And where's the name Snacks come from?
It's just some random shit I made up in the 90s when I was going on being a terrorist on the internet.
Nice.
On the early internet.
Nice. So how do you feel about this ID internet shit? Like, what are we going to do when they tell you need an ID to, like, connect online? Are we going to use – our podcast is going to be on Gemini or what?
I'm going to go on the dark web. I don't know about you fuckers. Like, I'm trying to get people on the dark web, and – nobody's really showing up. So
okay, but if you
can all go fuck yourself.
If you have to use an ID to connect, right? They say like your home ISP wants you to upload your ID, and you have to do it to even get online. Like, how do you connect to the dark web in an anonymous fashion? Wouldn't they just be able to trace everything you're doing on the dark web?
I mean, like, they would know that I'm on the dark web, but they know that now by looking at my traffic.
Yeah, yeah, but they're not able to, like, trace you.
So here's a secret.
On the dark.
Here's a secret. Wait, listen, here's a secret. If you have a house or apartment that has a coax cable hookup, a lot of times that's active whether or not you're paying for it. So if you just plug some shit in there and start analyzing the traffic, like, depending on who's servicing it, you might be able to just connect to the internet anyway.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. How do you feel about, like, shit like Reticulum or like, some of these, like, fibs, like, some of these, like, mesh network encrypted alternatives that they're saying might be an alternative to the captured
internet? I mean, I like the theory of that stuff, but I don't see any movement. Like, I don't see it going. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where's the devices? Where's the networks?
Well, so, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not super technical, like I said, but if you read the Reticulum documentation, like, it can use, like, a phone, it could use a computer, it could use I2P, it could use LoRa, like, a bunch of different stuff. So, like, I guess if we built the infrastructure, you know, by downloading the app and becoming nodes and propagating the network, technically, we could have, like, an internet that's outside of state control for, like, another, I don't know, what, 10, 15, 20 years before it turns into ads and walled gardens.
Yeah, I mean, like, the problem is if you're only doing wireless stuff, like, there's limits on that. Because, you know, how do you connect cities, or how do you connect over an ocean or shit like that? That's harder.
Well, I mean, any like computer or phone could be a node that relays like the stuff. So like my computer, my laptop could be like a node, and then I could propagate like traffic on the network, you know, and it doesn't have to rely completely on wireless, because like my computer right now has like
if you have to show an ID to get wired, then someone's got to show an ID.
Yeah, but if it's like, I mean, I guess that goes back to my question about like Tor or I2P. Like, if I have to show my ID right now to my ISP, like say the law comes out next week and next month I have to comply and I have to upload my shit because I work online and I need the internet, and I have to have my ID on there to access it. Like, if I connect to Tor, if I connect to I2P, if I connect to one of these other networks like Reticulum that's like privacy focused, like, will I be able to remain anonymous even if they can tell I'm using like an overlay network like Tor or like a mesh network like Reticulum?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point of these things, right? Like, it's all end-to-end encrypted peer-to-peer. So like, what's going to happen is you're going to log on to your internet, right? The same as, I mean, they already have your fucking name. They know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't understand why an ID makes any fucking difference.
Well, they don't know who I am because everything's under my wife's name.
But. Well, okay, yeah.
But I mean, they can figure it out if they want to.
They can see your traffic and they know you're using Tor, but they don't know what you're doing on Tor. Like, you might not be doing anything, because the way Tor works is that you're acting as a bridge for other people too. So like, you could be asleep and you're still doing Tor traffic. And they have no fucking idea when you're actually using it versus when you're just passively passing through data.
Yeah. And I guess I2P is the same way to a certain extent, because if you connect to the network, you're like a router and you're routing traffic. Yeah. And even if you're not doing shit, you're still like relaying stuff for other people.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I think Reticulum functions very, very similarly, except for, aside from computers, you can use it with other devices, including like LoRa, which is like long-range wireless. Do you think that wireless technology will ever catch up to the point where like we could do shit like streams? Because like right now we're doing a stream, right? But like, we were concerned on whether people listening over Tor would be able to watch the stream, or if they would just have to download the audio. And same thing goes for I2P, even though maybe the throughput's a little bit better on I2P because it's more designed for shit like that. But like, do you think that these alternative networks will ever get up to the bandwidth capability to where we can have like a ClearNet experience on a privacy network?
There's a lot of physics involved in this, because like the more bandwidth you want, the higher energy you have to spit out, and then like you get to a point where that starts causing cancer. I mean, we're not even close to that, despite what Ron says.
Okay.
But at some point, we will be.
Okay. And then
right now, like 6G or 5G is the latest thing.
I don't, like, you guys have better shit than us. Like, we just got 5G. Do you guys have 6G already, or what?
I think we're still 5.
Okay. Like, we just got it. Like, right now, like, in Colombia, like, it's in Medellin and Bogota and maybe, like, some of the bigger cities, like Barranquilla and Cali. But, like, in a smaller city, like, where I live, like, there's not really 5G, I don't think.
Yeah. And, like, the higher bandwidth and the higher energy, right, the more power plants you got to fucking run. And, you know, unless we start switching to nuclear, you know, everyone's competing for all this power, this limited power that we're putting out. And, you know, they're fucking fighting wars in Iran over oil. Dude, just fucking turn on the nuclear devices. Like, what is this shit?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I talked to a dude, bro. Like, I interviewed this guy when I worked at Bifinex, and he was like an engineer, like in charge of like energy infrastructure. And like, because of the switch to sustainable energy, like through wind or through hydroelectric and these kind of things, they basically have like an unreliable grid, right? Like, if there's no sun, there's no wind, like there's no energy, right? So like, these fucking grids, like the solution he came to is that like Bitcoin mining will like help the grid and balance the demand, because it either produces like way too much energy and not enough people are using it, or it doesn't produce enough energy. And like, what in those times when it's producing way too much, like Bitcoin mining could like take that excess and monetize it, which normally goes to waste. And then like they could shut the miners off or whatever. So he's like all about fucking Bitcoin mining in terms of like the energy thing. But he was telling me like he thinks like renewable energy is a shit coin, and that basically nuclear is like the answer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
There's like some small specific areas where solar can work. Like here in Nevada, for example, like where it's sunny all the fucking time and it doesn't rain and there's no hailstorms breaking your panels. Like it can be beneficial here, but what about the rest of the earth? It doesn't work that way.
Do you believe in like the nuclear like danger of like bombs and like radiation and shit? Because like we saw Hiroshima and Nagasaki get nuked, supposedly, right?
Yeah, and but that can't happen from a power plant.
No,
but that can't happen.
Chernobyl happened though, and like Fukushima happened.
Well, Chernobyl was fucking socialist, and what, like 30 people died or something? Like,
as dangerous as they say? Because like, if the meltdown happened in Chernobyl the way they say, right? Like, there would be so much radiation that it would just be dead for like thousands of years because of the nuclear half life, right?
Well, yeah, like, nobody this lives is just there. Physics. Like, it's abandoned.
No, but I mean, there's still plants growing and animals and shit, right? Like, so, like, do you really think it's as dangerous as they say? Like, with Fukushima, it was supposed to poison the whole Pacific Ocean and give everybody, cancer.
Let me answer the question.
Okay.
Let me answer the question. The answer is, if you're retarded. Like, if you do retarded things, then it's going to be dangerous. But, like, the Chernobyl, especially, was fucking, like, Soviet technology from the 50s, which wasn't updated at all, right? Like, that's not how our shit runs, even in America. So for the Navy has nuclear submarines. Like, every submarine in the Navy runs on a nuclear power plant. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a submarine, but it ain't that fucking big. So, like, then there's never been any kind of accident or disaster or anything. So these things are perfectly safe.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, do you think they're lying about how dangerous they claim, like, nuclear radiation? Like, for example, with fucking Hiroshima and Nagasaki, those nuclear bombs would have, like, poisoned those cities. And it's been less than 100 years, and they're thriving cities. Like, no, there's not, like, way more cancer there than there would be anywhere else.
Because the bombs exploded way up in the air. So, like, if you explode the bomb on the ground, then all the ground becomes contaminated, and then you would have cities that can't be lived in. But because they exploded up in the air, all you got was, like, the heat and the explosion that killed everybody, and then the radiation dispersed in the atmosphere.
Okay. Okay. Well, I respect your point of view, but I also saw this guy, Galen Windsor, who would, like, eat plutonium and shit and, like, swim in the radioactive pools. And he claims that, like, he designed nuclear reactors, like, in the 40s and 50s in the U.S., right? And he claims that, like, before they had, like, the Atomic Energy Commission, like, everybody just worked with, like, nuclear material and shit and, like, didn't wear protective gear and they were fine. And then they basically,
so
like...
died of cancer. Like, what is he talking about?
Are you sure, though?
I mean, like, so regardless of what you think propaganda is or whatever the fuck, like, you can do the math and the physics on those materials, and you can see the energy they're outputting, and then you can say, okay, what does that energy do to a DNA molecule?
So right? With the nuclear half-life that they teach you, like, a nuclear half-life, like, uranium has, like, 3,000 years or whatever the fuck. I don't even know what it is, but it's a lot.
Well, it's different for each type of uranium.
But they have different nuclear half-lives that are, like, in the thousands of years. And then we have these nuclear events. And then, like, within 100 years, we have, like, people living there again, thriving cities.
Yeah, but the half-life has nothing to do with that.
You don't think that has to do with, like, the radiation contamination that's, like, proliferating
the earth? The half-life has nothing to do with the amount of energy that gets put out. What do you mean? You can measure the amount of energy that gets put out.
What do you mean, though? Like, when they say, like, okay, like, uranium has a half-life of this long, and it could be toxic for, like, you know, 2,000 years.
The half-life just means how long that the material's there, not how much energy it puts out.
Okay. And what, the energy that puts out is the radiation damage or the poison or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. How can they, like, what's the estimate for, because, like, it doesn't make sense to me that there's, like, you know, 2,000 years that it's supposed to be unlivable, and then all of a sudden, 100 years, well, there's people living there.
Who said that? Well, who said that, though?
I mean, that's what I was taught. That's what I was taught in school, like, American school system. American schools. So maybe it's not true.
In school.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, maybe they taught me lies. Like, it could be.
Like I said, if they exploded the bombs in the dirt, then it would definitely be unlivable for a long ass time. Because, like, we did that here in Nevada, right? There's all these nuclear test sites in Nevada. Now, I guess you can go to one and find out, but I'm not going to fucking go there and risk it. Because they did various, like, you know.
But is it like they say Chernobyl is, where you walk around for 20 minutes and you come out with, like, incurable cancer? Like, in Nevada? Like, in the test sites?
I don't think 20 minutes will be enough, but I don't.
But it's like enough. Like, where if you like walked around there all fucking day, you could probably come out mad sick.
I can't say for sure. You know, where did they explode it? How much is in the dirt? So here's another. Like, people don't know this, but like, airline pilots get, I don't know, like 4 to 10 times as much radiation as the average person does, and like they have to be constantly screened for cancer. Like, they get higher screenings for cancer because
why get is cancer that
at a higher rate.
Why is that? Because they're like closer to the sun or some shit.
Yes, because the atmosphere is what shields us from all that shit.
Yeah, and they're like way up in the thin part where it doesn't shield them as much. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. All right. Cool. Well, what else you want to talk about, Dave?
I don't know. I mean, like, this is episode zero. We don't want to, like, blow our whole load, right?
Yeah, no. I know. I have some things I want to talk about, like, for episode one that I've already, like, kind of tucked away. But I guess, like, Dave, should we accept Zcash for our show?
If we do, you're setting that shit up. I'm not doing
it. Hell no, I'm not. I'm anti-Zcash. I asked you, like, I guess in a private text message, but, like, for the viewers, like, what about Nerva and, like, I don't know, all these other...
I don't even know what that is.
Firo. There's other privacy... Narrow. Like, should we accept
it? It's all bullshit. I'll do my Wow Narrow rant on episode one, so I don't want to...
All right. Cool, man. Well, hey, we've been going for, I think, like a half an hour-ish. I know this is episode zero, and we're just fucking around trying to test sound quality and stuff. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Do you want to call it a show right now, and then we can continue the conversation in episode one in a couple days?
Yeah, that works. Cool.
All right, cool. Yeah, man. All right. Well, this was awesome, and I had a pleasure talking to you. Like, it's very, very interesting because I'm a paranoid conspiracy theorist, right? So I don't even believe in nukes. So it's funny to hear, like, your perspective.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, some of that's the thing to scare you, and it takes a lot of work to figure out what's what, and a lot of people aren't willing or can't do that work.
Yeah, that's true.
It takes a lot, you know, like, physics is a lot of fucking heavy math, you know, like, people can't do that.
Yeah, I'm one of them, dude. I'm retarded when it comes to math. The American school system failed me with math. But, I don't know, like, I've always been, like, somebody that's more, like, in writing and, you know, like, they say your brain's oriented one way or the other, and math was never my strong suit. I do have, I guess, one other question. I was looking into the Noster live streaming, and I think we can live stream, like, straight from OBS. like, do we want to Noster live stream and accept Noster contributions and that kind of thing?
I mean, it's up to you. If you can get it running, then do it. It's like, there's no downside, right?
No, not really. I mean, like, basically, they would just give us Bitcoin that we would convert to Monero and then donate to whatever development shit we think is cool.
Okay.
All right. Cool, man. Well, have a wonderful evening, and we will talk soon.
Yep. All right. See you.
All right. Take care.